Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, folks. Glad you could join us for the Big Red Bench. Newcastle have just gone a goal up on Manchester United. We'll have more on that in just a sec. What a busy show coming your way between now and 7 p.m. All the reaction from today's Senior Hurling Championship semi-finals as Glen Rovers and Inverkilly book their place in the final in 2 weeks.
I suppose today was a different start of a game of hurling than most games we've played before. You know, we were slow enough to start today. I suppose we'd have to play better against the Glen now. The Glen were very impressive there against Carrigtwohill.
Also, reaction to come from Ornabby's 6-in-a-row win last night. Going to talk to Middleton Cricket Club about their fantastic year. I'm going to talk Rugby World Cup as well. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Matthew Longstaff was with the goal for Newcastle United. A low drive from outside the box put Newcastle United goal up on Manchester United. 73 minutes gone on the clock there. Could this be Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's last game in charge, Ciarán, if they lose here today?
Quite possibly. It shouldn't be, though.
No, it shouldn't be. But it shouldn't be. You know the way modern football is.
But it actually could be. Who'd go in, though?
That's the point. Well, Jose Mourinho's out of work. David Moyes is out of work. Two of them just waiting there. They can come back. I'm sure that
David Moyes is he only finished his contract?
Yeah.
Or is that still going?
It's the million-year contract he got when he started with Manchester United. Incredible scenes. The big talking point today, Ciarán, was you tweeting today on the Big Red Bench Twitter account calling a hurley a hurl.
Was that an actual debate?
Yeah, people have gotten in touch with us to say it's a hurley. It is a hurley. You're from Cork. It's a hurley.
When I actually said hurl, that's possibly in relation to one of the tweets about Seamus Hernley.
Seamus Hernley, yeah.
Because Twitter was trying to autocorrect that three times to girls.
Okay.
So if you read the tweets with girls in it, it wouldn't have been very...
So red cars for Olin Murphy caught Hernley around the neck with the girls.
Wouldn't have been very PC.
Wouldn't have been very good at all.
And he doesn't have a red car either. That was also an autocorrect, sorry.
But yeah, a few people have gotten in touch to give out...
It's a hurl.
I would say hurley.
Well, I'd say hurley as well, but it's... it's a hurl as well. It's an abbreviated of a hurley, like...
I'm not sure you're going to win this one, Kerr. Not sure you're going to win this one at all. All right, guess what today and everything that happens today.
Yeah, busy enough today, starting with those games in Park you're in. In the County Senior Championship semi-finals, Glen Rovers, very comprehensive winners over Carrigtwohill, 26 points to 11. Very disappointed Keith Ricken after that. We'll hear from him shortly. Inverkilly defeating the Bears, 319 to 119. Also, another comprehensive display by the East Cork Division. In the Intermediate Football Championship quarterfinal replay, Drumtariff beat neighbours Ballydesmond, 216 to 13 points. Big win for the side that came up last year from the junior ranks. In the relegation playoff, Adrigal have beaten Grenagh 16 points to 1-8. Adrigal now play Yall next, I think. So they have 1 foot out of the relegation, but they'll have to get a result against Yall as well. Donal Maloney, he's decided not to seek another term with the Clare Senior Hurlers next year. Maloney had declared an interest in a position to the Clare County Board during the summer, but uncertainty over his role is behind the decision not to proceed. He had been joint manager with Gerry O'Connor for the last few years, who stepped away from the position himself last month, and he's been treated very, very badly.
Donal has.
Very, very badly. He said almost straight away after Gerry stepped away that he wanted the position for next year. Now, because they were a duo management, it changed things up and Donal would have been going on his own and all that. Mm-hmm. But then last week, I know there was a journalist up in Clare giving out mad a lot on Twitter over the last 2 weeks how delegates up in Clare hadn't been asking the questions, what was going on with the Clare management, because they're out since July of the championship and nobody knew what was happening, and the same goes for the under 20 and minor management's up there, and this has been rumbling on. Then last week earlier this week, a flurry of happenings going on. Brian Lohan has been approached by the Clare County Board. He is a former Clare hurler, obviously, right. Managed UL to Fitzgibbon success in the last few years. He's now going for it, and this morning I think his name escapes me, Mulqueen, he was a selector with Davy Fitz in Clare, he's now as well supposed to be one of the okay. in line possibly to take it. He's noted his interest, I believe. He's currently manager of Liam Mellows up in Galway. So it's going to be interesting. But Donal Maloney, not respected very much so after giving so many years to the position. But anyway, that's the way
doesn't sound
that's
very
going.
Pleasant.
No, certainly not. But anyway, that's the way it is up there. In football, a big shock in the Premier League today is Man City were beaten by Wolves at the Etihad. 2-0 was the final score. We'll get that update shortly. Liverpool, they sit 8 points clear at the top of the table now as we go into the international break. Elsewhere today, Chelsea beat Southampton 4-1 at St Mary's. Republic of Ireland striker Shane Long, he made his first start of the season for the host there. And David Luiz, he scored his first Gunners goal at the Emirates as Arsenal beat Bournemouth 1-0. And Newcastle United, as Roy just mentioned, the absolute delight in his voice, have gone 1-0 up with against Man United. We'll have an update on that in just a second.
78 minutes on the clock there, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer looks like he's aged about 20 years since this game has kicked off.
He's been looking like that for last few days. All right, there seems to be an awful lot of pressure.
He looks exhausted from that, to be perfectly honest.
Elsewhere in Scotland, Celtic, they've lost for the first time this season in the Premiership as well. They're beaten 2-0 by Livingston. You would have expected them to get a result there, but Stephen Gerrard's Rangers, they beat Hamilton 5-0 at Ibrox, with Jermaine Defoe scoring a hat-trick. Rangers now 2 points clear at the top of the table. In rugby, France have booked their place in the quarterfinals of the World Cup. They've beaten Tonga 23-21 in Pool C. Jacques Brunel's side will face England next weekend to decide who tops that pool. Earlier on, New Zealand, they made light work of Namibia in Pool B. They beat them by 71-9. A pretty comprehensive win there. In basketball, in the Women's Super League, they finished in Ambassador, UC Glanmire 99, IT Carlow 57, and Singleton Super Value Brunel losing out to Oranmore Marie 76-61. In boxing, Dundalk fighter Amy Broadhurst has progressed from the last 32 at the Women's World Elite Championships. Meanwhile, the lightweight saw off German Maya Kleinens to make it 4 wins from 4 Irish boxers in Siberia. The Southpaw joins Kira Smith, Christina Desmond from Macroom, and Michaela Walsh in the last 16. In racing, 16-1 shot Walgeist has won the 2019 Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. Andre Faber's 5-year-old took the richest race in Europe at Paris Longchamps with strong bursts over the final 50 yards there. Enable and Frankie Dettori were denied a record 3rd win in the race as they were pipped just at the line. And in show jumping, the Irish team have qualified for Tokyo 2020 following their performance at the FAI Nations Cup final in Barcelona. It'll be the first time an Irish show jumping team will compete at an Olympic Games since Athens a couple of years ago, since 2004.
I thank you kindly, Kieran. We're going to start with Gaelic Games and that Senior Hurling Championship doubleheader in Páirc-Uaireann today. Mokilly booking their place in the final after their win over St. Finbarr's today, 3-19-1-19. And Mokilly now looking to become the first side since St. Finbarr's, actually, since the start of the 1980s, to make it a 3 in a row. Kieran seems to speak to their boss, Fergal Condon.
Thrilled again to be back in the final, you know. I suppose today was a different start of the game of hurling than most games we've played before. You know, we were slow enough to start today. I suppose we'd have to play better against the Glen, though. The Glen were very impressive there against Carrick Tool. You know, they had 10 points on the board in the shot. And we were well aware of that now, so they're going to come with six good forwards, so we'll have to be at our best the next year.
There was some great skill on show there. Even the goal from Paddy Sull, I think the cross from Will Leahy, I think it was Will.
There was some great goals. I thought we got 3 great goals. Dickie's was a bullet. Sean O'Regan command there, and his second touch, he had the ball in the back of the net. And you know, you have to be at that if you want to be a county champions as well. Like, you're going to get chances up front the same as your opposition, and it's about who takes those when they come their way. I'd like to think Offaly's are very experienced. We're looking forward to the final now. Obviously the Glen have back to back counties just before us, so this is some battle now.
You were looking in under the fence over at the Glen game earlier on. Obviously you'll be talking to the lads about them now in the next 2 weeks, but anything to, or did you see anything there that'll worry you?
I suppose, you know, I did. To Glen, or, you know, they're on the road with a long time. They have a great manager, and Richie Kelleher, you know, he's very organised and he's doing great work in his own club. But I suppose Richie will have his homework done on us as well, so yeah, we have a few things that we do in most matches, and I suppose we won't alter things too much. We'll just play away to our own strengths, and you know, the game will take on a life of its own. Anyway.
Any history between yourselves and the Glen? Have you?
No, we haven't played the Glen Championship. We played them earlier on, no, in the Challenge in Blackpool.
I know.
No, we've never played them in Championship in the last 5 years now.
Okay.
So I suppose I suppose, you know, for them and for us, it's a mighty belt up now because, as I said earlier, they are back-to-back champions before ourselves. And, you know,
the last 5 years,
they're a very pro club and we are well aware of it. And, you know, you have to give them great credit to get back to another final as well. And, you know, I hope the best team takes it out. But obviously, my job is to make sure that if we can at all, that we can scrape past in the day.
Just on Seamus, he got a bit of a close line there.
I say you went a couple of clause lines to take him out. He's a great fella. We just took him off there precautionary, and I suppose we wanted to get on a couple of young lads. And you know, I suppose it's nice to be able to do that. But you know, we're just looking forward to the final. Now he'll be okay now.
Just on the goals, I mean, you know, three. You hadn't kind of been getting a lot of goals, Fergal. So that must be very pleasing, was it?
It is, like, you know,
I suppose goals, yeah.
They were great goals. And you know, early days in the championship, we were getting good scoring. You know, we talked. 34 points against Middleton, which I suppose when you're tapping over scores like that and you're 14 or 15 points up, and then you could be chasing the game, you know. Goals are obviously in the trace. We'd never turn away when.
Sim O'Kelly, boss Fergal Conlon, they're speaking after their win over St Finbarrs today, 3-19 to 1-19. Were Sim O'Kelly impressive today? I mean, if we heard Fergal there saying that they're going to have to improve to face the Glen.
Probably, maybe just a tiny notch, but they were a good outfit. But they're fantastic players in Paddy Sull, Seamus Harnedy, Decky Dalton, and many more. Like when Shane O'Regan, one of the best players on the under 20 team this year, is on your bench. You know, you've a fantastic team to choose from. I think they've only two or three players who've actually started every game as well over the last 3 years, last two championship wins and this year. But I wouldn't say they'd have a huge amount to improve, but Fergie would say that anyway. They are, I think the Glen could put it up to them though.
That's going to be in 2 weeks time.
In 2 weeks time, but they're going to have to get the matchups right. You know, Decky Dalton was fantastic today, always is on freeze, you know, always is. So maybe a small bit, but I didn't think they were that bad, going by what Fergal was saying. But we mentioned the goals there. Sim O'Kelly have been struggling to get goals this year, so he'll be very happy that they got three absolutely cracking goals today as well.
We'll be here from Glen Rovers in a little bit, but first going to hear from Sim O'Kelly's Bill Cooper.
Yeah, we were happy with the result, probably not so happy with the performance. Plenty to work on for the final.
You mentioned plenty of work. You did put up big score though, against the Barrs, which, like, I know Glenora's put up big score as well against Carrigtwohill, but without being disrespectful to Carrig, the Barrs probably put up a bigger challenge.
Yeah, no, they were very well set up. Now they were hard to play against. You know, they played a few extra behind the ball, and really fought for everything. You know, so but you know, I suppose we were really up against it there. I suppose in terms of the play and possession, like, but you know. Luckily we were a bit more clinical up front.
Three of the goals that went in, they were absolutely sublime goals. If you could watch them back, they were a goal for the ages, from Dalton, Paddy and Shane O'Regan, who came on as a sub. I think it was a second touch. They were fantastic to see.
Yeah, no, it's something that Fergal is always talking about, getting goals if we get the chance. So you know, I suppose they are the killer blow at the end of the day, and you know, we were lucky enough we got three of them today.
A third final in a row for Sim O'Kelly, obviously super for the division.
Yeah, no, it's great. You know, I suppose the lads really, they're after creating a good environment, you know, a good competitive environment, playing very strong challenge games around the country, and thankfully we're bringing in the championship here in Cork, you know. So yeah, we're just, I suppose we're not underestimating the challenge now in the final. You know, we know the Glen are, like, you know, the players they have, they, you know, speak for themselves. They're fantastic, have the history and all the rest of it, so it's going to be a ferocious battle.
A few of you were peeking through the fence there in the first game, would have saw the Glen, they did have a pretty good game against Carrig.
Yeah, look, oh definitely, you know, I suppose look at their players they have, you know, everyone, you know, their household names. We'll need to improve, there's no doubt about that, but you know, it'll be a ferocious battle in the final.
Yeah, and you have 2 weeks now in the lead up to that. What's the plan, I suppose?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I suppose it's Fota tomorrow anyway for recovery, and you know, I'm not sure after that, but you know, it'll be a tough maybe 7 or, you know, maybe say a week, and then you know, it'll be just keeping ourselves fresh then as well.
All right, still Newcastle United 1, Manchester United 86 minutes on the clock. That was Bill Cooper of Sim O'Kelly. Now, Sim O'Kelly will face Glen Rovers back in the final for the first time since their back-to-back win in 2016 when they beat Aaron's Own in the final. 26 points to 11 points was how it finished today in favour of the Glen against Carrick Tool. Their boss is Richie Keller.
Look, any day you perform in a county semi-final, get into a county final, it's great. Look, we have a very experienced team. We came down to Hull today. We came down to put pressure on Carrick Tool from the start, and we did that. And we had the game in the bag before time blew up. But look, that's the next day. Mightn't even get to that stage. We're happy with today. It's our best performance of the year. Our timing is on course. We're very happy with it.
The writing was on the wall very early in that game. 5 points up after 5 minutes. 10 points up to no score after 10 minutes. Like, he really took control of it early on.
Yeah, we did. And look, I wouldn't say that was the plan. The plan was to go and perform, put in the effort, work hard. And it was a case of keep the ball in play. No stupid shots from all angles. We did that against Newtown. We had a couple of bad wides. You know, and it kills the momentum. Keep the ball in play. If you're sure of a point, you take it. But if you're not sure, just throw it into the full forward line, and we could recycle it, and you get it. You can make it end up getting an easy score over it. But that was the plan, was to come and hurl, and we did, and we're very happy with it.
You mentioned that we spoke after the Newtown game, and you had a couple of things to work on. Maybe you weren't terribly happy with some of the things, but you're happy with how it worked out.
Yeah, it was, because look. Someone said there, we got 26 points and we got 23 from play. Look, you got to be happy with that. No, you can. On the flip side, you say we got no goal. But look, the way the hurling has gone, no goals are kind of really scarce. But look, and traditionally, we're not a goal team. You know, it's something that we try to work on. But the way the game has gone, it's nearly all points. We're happy. We're improving all the time, from Middleton to Charleville to Newtown and to today. Our form is on the rise, and look, that's what you want going into county final. Your form has to be red hot, and we need it, because we're going to be facing in McKilly, who are a couple of three in a row, or the Bears, who are rivals of ours. And look, there's a huge tradition and respect there, and we'll go and do the best we can. And if we win, we win. If we lose, we lose.
Yeah. You said that once you're making progress, you're happy. You've made progress now into the county final for the first time in a few years. Obviously, it's great for the club to be back in there.
It is, because, like I say, we're a big club on the north side, and we've big following, with big membership, we've big plans. And there's no point in having big plans and big membership if the teams are performing on the pitch. We have a minor county final tomorrow night. The club is on the rise, but look, it was on the rise three or four years ago, and we kind of dipped a little bit, so we won't get carried away with anything. We're thankful for what we have. We'll try to hold on to it as long as we can, but there's one thing given in sports: you don't win all the time, and we will do our best to keep it going. But we're happy, and we're looking forward to the county final in 2 weeks' time.
Stephen McDonald went off injured. Anything serious?
Yeah, I think it's his groin. I'm not too sure. It looks. He said he'll be all right, but the players will always tell you that. We won't know until we get it accessed. Look, he's a big player for us. He's a big leader for us. He's a Cork player. He's an experienced county player. We need to get him right, but he'll need to be right, because if you're playing a county final, you won't get away with it. So look, we have 2 weeks to sort that out. We won't know, but hopefully he'll be all right.
I don't want to put a damper on a great day for Glenn, but Liam Gosnell got, I think, all but one of Carrick's scores. Was it a worry that he was able to score so much? I know most of them were from frees anyway, but
every team has good players, and look, it's very hard to shut down six forwards. Someone's always going to perform, and if they all perform, you're in right trouble. Like, our forwards today were really good, you know. But that's what matters. A couple of forwards didn't perform, but today they did. Look, you go out, your backs do the best they can, but it's very rarely you get a day when the six forwards don't do anything. You always only get someone who's going to play well. Look, today Liam Gosnell did that for Carrick Tool. But look, as you said, most of them were from frees. A couple of times they went for goals towards the end, and we pulled down our man, because you're not going to let him in. And look, it's the right thing to do. You don't let anybody in. You give away the point, and you regroup and go again. And we did that today a good few times.
And last, before I leave you go, 2 weeks now before the county final, as you mentioned, between either McKilly or Bears, lots to look forward to, with last work on as well, maybe.
Yeah. Look. We have 2 weeks. 2 weeks to the county final. We can sit back now and watch the Bears and the McKilly go out of here. Players will be sent home in the bus. We'll stay around and watch some of it. But look, as I always say to the players, it's not about who we're playing. It's about ourselves. If we go and it's an old cliche, but it's true. If we start focusing on other teams, we forget what we're doing ourselves. We must get ourselves right before you even look in that position. You must be right to go and perform. When we're right, we know we're a match for anybody, and that's our goal for the next 2 weeks: is get the fitness right, get our heads right, and get the niggles sorted after today. We have a couple of niggles, and we'll go and county final day and do the best we can. And if we do well, we'll be in the game. If we don't, we'll be chasing the game. And look, that's sport. We'll hope to be ready, and if we are, we'll go do the best we can for Glen Rovers and the north side.
Yeah, it's Richie Kelleher there of the Glen speaking after their win over Carrick Tool. 91 and a half minutes on the clock at St James's Park. Newcastle's the leading Manchester United by a goal to nil. Do the Glen have what it takes to beat the McKilly, Kieran?
Possibly, yeah. It's just like I mentioned earlier on, it's just the matchups. It's obviously very important that they get them very right. I know he wasn't happy. Richie wasn't happy after the Newtown and Charleville games that they could have improved. They could improve on an awful lot of things. So he mentioned there that they have improved some bit, but some bit still more to do. But they can, I think, they could question Imikili, I think. But Imikili are going to be going in as favourites regardless. They're just a crazy good team, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to hear from Macarthur Tools' Keith Ricken speaking after their defeat to the Glen.
Yeah, I suppose there's two ways of looking at it. Like, you know, first of all, I suppose, would we have settled for this at the start of the year? Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. You know, disappointed. I'm disappointed for them because they could hurl better than that. I think the occasion maybe might have got them for a bit. There's no doubt about that. And also, like, you know, when you've so much to play for, sometimes you can freeze up a bit. And I think that maybe might have been a small bit today. But you know, I thought like they're very admirable in the second half. We still kept out fighting. We went for goals. We took the chances, and you know, we didn't get all our chances. And to be honest, we kept the Glen out from scoring goals. So there's lots of positives too. And we blooded a couple of young lads yesterday who are only 18 and 17 years of age. So you know, they'll be coming again in the next couple of years. You know,
do you think it bothered them all the talk about, you know, you were in bonus territory now, and Glen Rovers were probably going to overcome in this game? Would that have bothered the lads?
Yeah, it would have bothered me anyway, because you know, like, bonus territory, I mean, what is bonus territory? But at the end of the day, you get an opportunity, you know, trying to finish it and you're trying to win a game. So and I suppose that's what we were hoping to try and do. That's what I was hoping to try and do. But it's sometimes, you know, when you fight so hard to go so far, sometimes, you know, there's exhaustion that catches you at the end. And you know, maybe I'd say there was a lot of nervous energy spent during the week there with the lads, and I think maybe that would have spilled out on their performance today, because they are better than that. Like, there's no doubt about that. But I mean, you credit the Glen too. Like, the Glen are a good side, and you know, the Glen will be, you know, have won a couple of counties the last couple of years and have been knocking at the door for the other few. So I mean, there's no shame being beaten by the Glen. There's no shame, you know, going out today. I just would have rather the lads would have maybe had a small bit more self belief and had to go off it. You know, I think they're being more cautious a bit, and that can catch you, you know.
Great game from Liam Gosnell, scoring all but one of the points.
Yeah, Liam's good. I mean, he's a good young lad, and he's a very good carry tool guy. Like, he's there at training all the time, like guys are all the rest of them. Like, you know, other guys out today didn't have a good game, but like, I'd be hoping that they wouldn't be, you know, looking at what they didn't do this year, and maybe kind of concentrate on what they have done. I mean, their journey has been a remarkable journey from the start of the year, getting annihilated by the Bears, and you know everyone talking about them going down. Doesn't matter how they go down, how far they go down, and to dig deep, it's very easy to pull a hamstring or to do go off on around the world trip or something like that, when you're looking at the team, the 17 or 18, 19 lads, and you're fighting against everything all the time. But these fellas, I mean I have the utmost admiration for them in relation to how they come to training week in, week out, and they dug themselves out of the hole, and that is a sign of a man. I mean, you know, you have a problem, you face up to it, and you try to go on to it. And I know they got a good win over Killer, they had a great win over Bandon, a fantastic performance against Ballyhea, you know. And no, I say this probably, for this year maybe, it might have been a bridge too far, you know. But we have good young lads coming through, and you'll be hoping to blood them a bit now in the next while, you know.
Premier senior next year, anyway, you'll have to build on for that.
Yeah, Premier senior, I mean, like, you know, people... People are kind of you go into something, and then you're so consumed about staying there that you actually forget about the journey itself. Do you know, just like being on a tour, and you're so adamant of getting to the place that you want to get to that you forget to look out the window. We have to do that too. We have to enjoy the moment and enjoy the journeys, and we look out and enjoy the view around us. And I think that's important for these lads this year, that they got a sense of that. They got a sense of winning three senior hurling championships, which they haven't done in a long time in a row. You know, and the community has a good sense of that. And you know, we had the under-9s play the Glen here today at half-time, right? That's the future. They're coming through, you know. I mean, how long has played on the 9s, and they're coming through. They're 14s, the 16s, the minors. The lads are coming through. If we just keep going where we're going, you know, we can control the controllables on that side. Sure, that's as much as you can ask Andy for, you know. It was amazing today, you know, this, we spoke to the players today, like the last reading, the last line in the mass today, I actually wrote it down, was about, you know, we're only merely servants and we're only doing our duty. And that's all we all are in every club, you know. Like, in every club, we are the servants of the game, and we're doing our duty. And if our duty gets us to where we get to. That's it. I mean, that's our job, and that's what the lads have done. And, you know, I'm going mad from that they didn't get the performance that they should have probably deserved to give today. But at the same time, I'm very happy that they got to a semi final of a county, and I'm very happy to do something to build on.
That's Gary Tools, Keith Ricken there. I think the first time ever that Mass has been quoted on the Big Red Bench, so it's an historic occasion. Really passionate stuff there from Keith.
He's just fantastic to interview. Yeah. He's just brilliant with some of the quotes, everything he comes out with. But he's brilliant. But yeah, he was very proud of the lads. You heard there, just disappointed for them that they didn't, I suppose, show up. They could have shown a lot more. But I think, I know he mentioned that he didn't like the term bonus territory, yeah, but nobody expected him to get where they did this year. And look, they did. They had good wins along the way, and look, fair juice. They got to a county semi-final. They're up Premier Senior next year, and that's a huge, huge thing, you know.
And Newcastle have beat Manchester United by a goal to nil, thanks to that second half goal from Matthew Longstaff after 72 minutes. That's Newcastle are at the relegation zone and up into 16th. They're now just a point behind Manchester United, who look like a team who could be dragged into that relegation battle. Not a good look if you're a Manchester United fan.
No,
it has to be said. All right. Yesterday, Moranabbey were crowned Cork Ladies Football Champions for the sixth time in a row with a 4-9 to 1-9 win over West Cork yesterday. Darren O'Sullivan has been speaking to Ryan Grace.
Yeah, look, delighted to win our club championship. Football is unbelievable. Look, West Cork are an excellent outfit. They threw everything at us there today, and we're delighted to get over the line.
Yeah, you had a fantastic game yourself. 2 goals and 7 points for the 4-9 overall. How do you feel about that? You're probably happy with your own performance.
Yeah, look, I think the scoreline flatters us a lot. I think it could have been a lot closer. West Cork missed a good few goal opportunities, and it could have been a different game. I think it was a lot closer than the scoreline tells.
It was very competitive in the second half, a lot of game in the middle of the park. Did you feel like that, not that the lead was slipping, but that things mightn't have been as easy for you maybe in the first half?
Yeah, definitely. Look, West Cork dominated possession massively there in the second half. We were struggling to get over our halfway line, and look, I think when the ball did come up to the forwards, we were clinical, and thankfully the ball went over the bar today, and we've been on the other side of things when they're going wide.
I just got a word, Darren, just on the fourth goal. Great team effort there. The passing, I'm sure you remember it from the first half there. I just got a word on just how, like, the passing was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, look, I suppose that's the advantage of being a club side that we have over being a divisional side. We've been playing with each other since we were 6-7 years old. We've been working at that for training for over a decade now. That doesn't just happen on the big days. We've been working on that, and as I said, we're so used to playing with each other. I know what the girls coming through are doing with the ball. They know what I'm going to do, and it's just really easy to play with each other, really easy to read what the other players are doing.
Six in a row today, Darren. Are you concentrating on that, or are you just concentrating on the one today, or does it feel like this is part of a set, like that it's an ongoing?
No, to be honest, we view each championship as a new year. I don't think six in a row, we're thinking about that. Each year poses a new challenge. West Cork are an unbelievable outfit. They've unbelievable into county club and club players, and look, as I said, I don't think the scoreboard did them justice there today. It was a lot closer. There was some hard hitting. Girls went to the sin bin, but it was great sportsmanship showed and high quality football.
Alright, thanks Darren. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Yes, Darren O'Sullivan there of Moranabbey speaking after their win. Going to hear now for their manager Shane Ronan.
Yeah, look, there's a huge sense of satisfaction to have achieved the six in a row, and I suppose to have proved to everybody again they were the best team in the county. You know, we were under a lot of pressure today coming in. You know, I don't think we'll meet a team for the rest of the year that has as many inter-county stars as West Cork have, you know. So we knew we were going to have to be very, very good today, and the girls were very determined. We felt we didn't play very well last year for a game and a half. We played for the second half, and you know, I think we showed how good we were in that second half last year, and we were just determined today to, from the word go, to not let that happen. We wanted to settle and do the simple things, and I think they did the simple things, and those simple things created goals. You know, and we got four brilliant goals in the first half, you know, with great work, great interpassing, you know, great movement off the ball, and I think that's something we've been working on. And I think our defence was outstanding today. We weren't happy the last day. We left in four goals against Fells. We've worked very hard in it. They took the criticism on the chin from the last day, and they've worked extremely hard, and you know, I'm seriously proud of them. They, you know, they're an unbelievable bunch to work with, and you're just honoured to be involved with such a group of players, because they're so honest, and they keep coming back, they keep going to the well, and they'll keep digging for more. You know, they kept going again today, like when we were down to 14 players, there was no way they were going to concede goals. They have true bodies in the line, and look, I can only be so proud of them, and just stand back in awe of what they do. They're a brilliant bunch.
Yeah, Shane, 4-9-1-9 is the final score today. Do you think that was a fair reflection of the game?
I suppose, look, we probably took our goal chances. I suppose our goal chances were a lot more clear cut than West Cork's. You know, I suppose we had the extra body coming back in the line, and we were able to get back. But look, West Cork, you know, probably missed a couple of chances. They won't be overly happy with some of the stuff they did. But I think when we cut teams open, it's very hard to stop us. So look, it's probably a 5 or 6 point game. Maybe 9 points is a bit too much. It could have been more as well, though. We would have felt in the first half our conversion rate was brilliant. It was 75%, 6 out of 8, but we only had 8 attacks. So you know, in the second half, if we'd attacked more, I think we would have scored more. So look.
That's Shane Ronan there, as Moran Abbey manager, speaking after their win yesterday over West Cork. 6-0 now for Moran Abbey, and congratulations indeed to them. And indeed, Kieran, congratulations to your club, I believe.
Ballyhea, sure, top of the county. County champions, yeah, and the county junior Camogie championship. They beat Charleville, their next door neighbours.
Bitter rivalry.
Yeah, 3-10-2-7, 6 point win. That overturns last year's championship win for Charleville, I suppose, after they beat Ballyhea. But so fantastic for the club back there. They brought both teams up to Castle Road. Probably could have been played maybe closer to home, but brought up to Castle Road, and a great win for Ballyhea. And I got a text as well saying you're invited to the celebrations, which get underway around 7:30 in Ballyhea if you want to come up.
That'll be carnage, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right, still to come on the show, we're going to talk about women's football, we're going to talk World Cup, and next we're talking to Middleton Cricket Club.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
All right, full-time report from St. James's, Stephen Goldsmith.
Newcastle 1, Manchester United 0. In a game that was lacking in quality, it was fitting that local lad Matty Longstaff provided the quality moment that won the game. In a Premier League debut alongside his brother Sean, he was impressive throughout, and Manchester United were warned when his first half effort cracked the crossbar. His second half effort found the bottom corner, and it won the game against an awful Manchester United side who looked devoid of ideas and hope. Newcastle 1, Manchester United 0.
Void of ideas and hope, sounds about accurate about that Manchester United team. We're going to talk cricket now. Middleton Cricket Club celebrating after their most successful ever year. Chairman Adrian Stack calling to me to discuss a cracking 2019. All right, we're joined in studio by Middleton Cricket Chairman Adrian Stack. Adrian, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you, Rory.
It's been quite a year for Middleton. Can you tell us all about it, basically?
Yeah, an incredible year, considering probably 18 months ago we were at a situation where we were thinking of packing in the entire club. We've had some very dark days in the last couple of years, but this year just everything came together. We won the Junior League for the first time in our history, followed by the Minor League, and we also won the Junior Cup for only the second time in our history, having won it previously in 2000. So yeah, it was an incredible year.
So when you say 18 months ago the club nearly folded, what changed and how did you get it back on track?
It's hard to say. I mean, we had a couple of new bodies come in, but we had a couple of the old guard leave as well. Christian Laubsner came in, an extremely good South African fast bowler, which really helped. Gavin Gibson, who joined last year, he's progressed really well as well. It sounds silly. I've never been a fan of sports psychology. It sounds a bit silly, but at the start of the year, we actually bought new kit. And there was a sense of we were all dressed like a team. We looked like a team. We
looked professional, like a team. Yeah.
Everything just clicked. It's something obviously we've been thinking about, but it's been very hard to pick out one thing that's changed. It was just an incredible year. Hopefully not a freak year, just an incredible year.
Just a snowball effect, so just things going right.
Yeah, I mean, look, cricket is a minority sport in Ireland. It's an even smaller minority sport in Munster. It's very hard for all the clubs to keep the show on the road. As I say, we've had some awful days trying to get teams together, trying to get players together, trying to get guys to train, trying to get the guys to improve. We discontinued our youth section about 2 years ago, which damaged us. We dropped down from senior just because of the scale of defeats we were suffering. We dropped down to junior, but you know, there's always been a great spirit within the club, within the guys involved in the club. We've worked very hard to keep the show on the road, and it just, you know, it just came together. It's been fantastic year.
Yeah, it certainly has been. How did you get involved as chairman then? I mean, like, that's obviously a big job, a very time consuming job, so how did that come about?
Yeah, our previous chairman, Curtis Mohammedy, unfortunately just didn't have the time to dedicate to the club anymore, so he stepped aside. We had our AGM last October, and it was I won't say I was asked or I won the race to become chairman, because to be honest, there wasn't a whole lot of interest in the position given our circumstances. But it's gone really well. We've been very lucky with sponsors such as Lavish there in Washington Street, Enva Environmental Services, and we've managed to raise enough capital that we're after buying a storage container for our ground at Middleton College.
Brilliant.
As I say, we bought the gear. We've just been trying to do, I suppose, things that other clubs take for granted, but you know, they may have more membership and more things at their disposal. We've literally had to fight very hard for every penny. So yeah, it's been a tough 12 months. It's been peculiar. As I say, we're not really a club that concentrate on winning. We're a club that sort of really focus on participation. We've been very lucky. We've had the chance to give over 40 people a chance to play cricket in Middleton this summer, which has been absolutely fantastic and our main objective. We haven't really known how to celebrate winning the leagues and the cup. There was a bit of head scratching about what do we do? Do we have a bit of a dance or what? As I say, we're not really used to winning things, so I won't say winning all these trophies has been rewarding. It's sort of been a bit bewildering, to be honest, but it's some kind of reward. Perhaps it'll kick in on the 20th of October when the MCU Awards night is on in the Mardek, and when we're presented with the league trophies, we might suddenly realise what it means then, you know.
So it's obviously your effect as chairman coming in that, you know, start winning.
That's for other people to say.
When you look back over the season, Adrian, I mean, like, what are the standout games? What are the kind of standout moments?
Well, the first team had an incredible season. They were unbeaten in the league and unbeaten in the Junior Cup. They progressed through two rounds of the National Cup, beating Knockarley of Leinster, which was the first time we've ever beaten a Leinster side, and beating St Johnstone of County Donegal, which was only the second time we'd beaten a team from the Northwest. The quarter final against Derryahy, unfortunately, was affected by the weather and we lost in a bowl-out. But that was a rather incredible journey. If we'd have won that, we would have hosted the club, Kevin O'Brien, the Irish International Railway Union. So we're gutted we missed out there. But Kevin has promised us he'll try and make it down pre-season next year for a bit of a training and a bit of a catch-up. As far as the seconds were concerned, it was a very odd season. We started very poorly. I don't think we won a game during Ramadan, and the season looked like it was going to peter out. We dropped out of the Minor Cup, but it just came together at the end of the season. It went down to the last game of the season. Cork Harlequins were up in Limerick and we were down in Kerry, and we had to win to seal the title. And it was an incredible day. We started really well and we thought we're cruising here. Kerry ferociously fought back and it was a real, real nail biter. It was very poetic justice that it was our seconds, our long suffering seconds captain, Atif Akbar, who actually hit the winning runs.
Yeah.
And as I say, cue bewildered celebrations once again.
So what, you just stand around looking at each other, was like, what can we do?
Basically, yeah. We haven't had much practice at winning. So.
Right, Adrian, so the awards night happening on the 20th for a team that isn't used to celebrating, you're going to have to get used to it very, very quickly.
Absolutely, no, there's going to be some tremendous scenes at it. Historic moment. My big thanks to my two captains, Majid Khan and Atif Akbar, who've been with us through thick and thin. There's lads like Kashif Khan, Dennis Shikbal, Dean Wilson, you know, guys that have been there for years. You know, going above and beyond for the club, and it's really for them. It's going to be extra special because they've had the chance to go elsewhere and play their cricket with more successful teams. They've been loyal to Middleton, and we're thrilled to have given them the platform to achieve something like this.
I'd imagine plans for 2020 have kind of started already, have they?
Absolutely. We're already being asked what divisions we'd like to play in next year. There might be a chance of us going Premier again, just with the sort of added confidence and the added players that we've brought in. But we want to stick to our core principles of being there for people who, if they fancy a game of cricket, come down. We try and accommodate everyone of all ages and abilities, as you can see from myself. And that's our main raison d'etre, isn't there to win leagues and cups. It's that people get out, they play a team sport that's extremely enjoyable and very relaxing and horrifically frustrating at times. But that's always going to remain our core principle.
And so if anyone wants to come down, get in touch.
Absolutely, we're on the Facebook, so.
Excellent. Adrian, thanks very much for coming in and congratulations on a great year.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, great to talk to Adrian there, Adrian Stack, Middleton Cricket Club chairman after an incredible 2019, and congratulations to them on their wonderful successes. We're going to talk rugby now. Our friend Luke Prendeville has been touring Japan in a van the last few weeks following the Irish team. I checked in on him earlier on today to talk about Ireland's World Cup so far.
Thanks for having me, Rory. It's been great so far, yeah. There's a group of six of us in a tiny little camper van going around Japan. And yeah, we just got back from dinner there. We had a small bit of sushi. I'm not too keen on fish now myself, like, but it was, oh no, to be honest, yeah, I was going to say it was grand. It wasn't great at all. I wasn't mad keen on it at all. But Japan is a bizarre place, especially with like the majority of the Irish people here were being treated so incredibly well. Like the Japanese people are unbearably sound. And the actual atmosphere of the games, like this, we bumped into a lot of Welsh, a lot of English, loads of Japanese rugby fans, more than we thought that we'd actually get across. Mm. But the place has just been taken over by fans. And the Japanese seem to absolutely love it as well. Like they're loving the atmosphere.
Massive culture change, I suppose. What's been the highlights of the trip so far?
I suppose you're dead right about the culture thing. I mean, one thing that's kind of popped up for us is like there are, and it's a trivial thing now, but there are just no bins anywhere,
right.
Anywhere in Japan. There's just no bins anywhere. So it's kind of like they're expected, and rightfully so, you're expected to kind of take all your stuff with you and bring it anywhere. Which you'd expect that, like, you know, if you were staying on a beach, like one of the nights we'd be staying on one of the beaches and we'd take everything up and bring it with us. But then you go into a built up area like Tokyo or Kyoto or Kobe or whatever, and there's just no bins anywhere. The people are incredibly respectful to everyone. So I suppose that has been the major culture difference. It's just because we've been hard pressed to find somebody who has been just in any way rude or hasn't been in any way accommodating to us. So the people are just the highlight of it all so far. They're bizarre, but they're brilliant.
Is there many Irish fans over in Japan? Have the many Irish fans made the trip over?
Yeah, we got added to a Facebook group that kind of helped people out with tickets and different events of fan zones and stuff that's been going on. For the Russia game before that match, we went to a fan zone and it was mobbed. Like it was, I'd say if I had to put a number on it, there must have been maybe about 500 or 600 Irish inside there. And in fairness, the fan zones are like nothing I'd ever seen before. The Japanese people had just set everything up incredibly well. Stages, Irish music, local food. But there's just a load of people here at the moment and everybody's loving it. And then you go into the stadium and it's like for the Rush game, the place was totally green, like packed with green. And even the Japanese locals have just basically just said, right, well, we're just adopting the Irish and especially the Welsh as well. They're loving the Welsh as well. But I think we're number one to them at the moment.
happy days. What's the feeling like among the Irish fans after the three games so far? On a high after the Scotland game, then that defeat to Japan and the unconvincing win, I suppose, over Russia. So what's the feeling like among the Irish fans about the team?
It's weird, really, because we're trying to figure out, have we kind of got the same outlook as the, you know, their fans at home? We were very much of the case. We were thinking, Jesus, it's awful that we're after losing to Japan, but if we were going to lose to anybody, it's great to have lost to these people who have been so sound to us. But there's sort of this feeling of blind optimism that Joe Schmidt has something up his sleeve, that he's just going to wait for the quarters, because it does seem like everything's a little bit flat. Not everybody's 100% satisfied with most of the performances. Like, yeah, you're getting bonus points and we're getting points on the board and the defence is doing well, but at the same time, it's like everything's not been fulfilled yet. But there's no like ill will towards the Japanese out here at all. Everybody is really rooting for them, for the Irish. Like, for instance, now last week, we were watching the Samoa and Japan game, and obviously it's in Ireland's interest if Japan don't get a bonus point there, but you just found yourself rooting for them because the place is just going 90. So it's optimistic, but there's a lot of people thinking that we mightn't kind of do as well as we want to and might be a quarterfinal exit.
Look, there's a lot of talk about the conditions in Japan. It seems to have affected the Irish team with kind of handling errors and stuff like that because of the heat and the humidity. How have you found it?
It's, as I'm saying this now, like I'm feeling a bead of sweat just trickle down my arm. It's so disgusting. It's brilliant and it's warm and it's it's fantastic, but it's so muggy, it's so humid. We didn't really know how to pack when we were coming out here. Nobody really knew because, in all honesty, I, out of total ignorance, thought that Japan was in the southern hemisphere. So I was thinking, oh yeah, grand, we'll pack, you know, shorts or whatever, yeah, and, you know, a couple of jeans or whatever. But it's impossible to call every day. Like, the one day it'll be lashing rain, the next it'll be, you know, 30 degree heat. So it's a total mixed bag. And even when we went to the stadium for the Russia game, the roof was closed, and we had just been coming out of the typhoon as well. So we were coming from the typhoon, which had us soaked, and we went straight into the stadium, which had us baking, like baking in the heat. So it's a, I don't envy the players when they're running out there, because like the most exercise we're doing is lifting cans and pints. That's the bare bones of it, really, you know.
And you had a lot of training done for that, I'd say, did you?
Oh, hell yeah. Look at my gut. You'll see that. Yeah.
And what's the plan now for the rest of the tournament? Are you going to stay on until the final? Are you going to come home in Ireland and go out? Or what's the story?
I've booked off work until the 12th. So I'll be coming back. At the moment, I'm going back to meet some friends in Tokyo for about 4 days. And then I'm going to meet up with the lads again in the van for the Samoa match, just to see that. I'll be heading away back home after the Samoa match for work. And then the guys are staying on for the quarterfinal. But they're kind of a little bit worried now that they might have to do a little swapping with tickets if Ireland don't finish top, because they have quarterfinal tickets, which might be them going to Japan versus, you know, New Zealand or South Africa, whoever it might be. So we'll have to see what the story is with that. But I think some of the guys are kind of playing it by ear. They just have one-way tickets booked so far, and they're kind of happy to see how it plays out.
So. All right, Luke, enjoy the rest of the trip, man. Thanks for taking our call today.
No worries, Rory. Cheers for having me. Talk to you later.
Yeah, great to have Luke Prendeville on from Japan earlier on today. I'm speaking about the last few weeks following the Irish team around the country. Right, we're going to talk women's football on a record-breaking crowd. We'll watch Ireland take on Ukraine in their Euro qualifier this week. The side's meeting in Tala on Tuesday with all 8,000 tickets sold. Our old friend, former Cork City and Coventry City defender John Andrews, has been coaching women's football in Iceland recently, and I caught up with John to talk to him about the evolution of the women's game, Tuesday's match, and much more. All right, we're joined in studio by our good friend John Andrews for the first time in a while. John, how are you, boy?
I'm doing fantastic, Rory. How's yourself?
I'm good. You're back from Iceland.
I am. We I had a very successful couple of years out there with a club called Völsungur, on the female side, and we won the league there in September, and I just thought I'd taken that club as far as I could. You know, the investment wasn't going to happen for next year, so I thought, you know what? What better way to have a little bit of time off than to come home to Cork?
Hard to leave Iceland, though, because I mean, like, you were very you fell in love with the place, basically, didn't you?
I did. Well, it's the professionalism over there that I enjoy. You know, they really invest in their coaches over there, and most of the coaches at senior level are full time. So it's perfect for someone like me who's involved now with the FAI and the UEFA Pro license, and it's fantastic for me. And it's not a case that I might not be going back there. There's a few offers to go back there in the next couple of weeks, so we'll see. You know, I'm just enjoying my break now at Cork.
How have you found coaching women's football as opposed to men's football? What's the fundamental difference?
No,
is there
difference
one?
Really. I think, to be honest with you, the respect that the women's game is starting to get now, because of the women's game was predominantly associated with mistakes and fun and laughing and social, let's say 5 to 10 years ago. But now with the World Cup the way it was, and the previous World Cup as well, when you see the technical ability of the players, it's for, you know, for want of a better word, it's coaching real football. The players are fantastic, and the technique levels are outstanding. So realistically, mostly it would be a more social aspect that you would see the difference in, you know.
And how have you found then the game in Iceland compared to, say, the women's game in Ireland, for example?
Well, funny enough, my goalkeeper was from Dublin. She was Niamh Coombs. I took her over from Kilkenny City, and Niamh, that they were used to be getting beaten 5 and 6 and 7-0, and I brought her over, and the full time environment really suited her. So I don't know too much about the women's game in Ireland, although I do know that it's after taking off something fierce, especially since Colin Bell was doing so well with the international team, and now, of course, Vieira's taken it on for the first game on Tuesday. But it's, I think it's a society thing, Rory, the fact that people are healthier, people are in better shape, and therefore your football and your sports at every level is going to improve.
Certainly so. How much of an impact did the World Cup have overall, and like the women's game getting out there, I mean, seen as this proper professional game, I suppose?
Well, I think you just nail it. It's a proper professional game. You know, if you talk to the top women, the top female players, you're talking to top athletes, top professional athletes. They train 5-6 times a week. They're in the gym 4 or 5 times a week. They're playing. Their recoveries are all the same as the men. It's not. It's the exact same sport, realistically. You know, same rules, same field, everything. Yeah. The impact of the World Cup was just the same as it does on the men's side, which is there'll be an influx of young girls now. Playing in the game because they were watching the World Cup. There'll be also the old school mothers and fathers who would think they'd have the old school view of women's football, and then they watch the women's game and you say, oh my God, this is fantastic, because it's technical, it's very tactical. The athletes, the females are fantastic athletes, so you're saying to yourself, you know what, this is a product that really the FAI and Ireland can really get behind.
I think a big part of it in Ireland as well was RT and TG Car screening every single game, and not just like say England games or whatever, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, and that also puts a nice competitive pressure on the players. The players then see themselves on the TV. They can see their old faults. They can see if they're not in the best shape. They can see who they're playing against, you know, rather than just looking at it face to face. They can go back and analyse the games on video, and they can see themselves. And then you say to yourself, well, man, if, you know, I'm always a big fan of modelling, especially in coaching. If you see somebody doing something right, go and do it.
Yeah.
And if you can go and do it, man, you're going to get to the same level, or at least close to the same level that they're at.
And it helps as well that like some like players became like household names over the World Cup. Megan Rapinoe just being the main one I'm thinking of there.
Yeah, well, look, I saw her on, I think it was Jimmy Fallon. She knocked it out of the park. She was fantastic.
She's incredible.
And you just say to yourself, well, these girls now are celebrities, and deservedly so. But you look at our game, just to name two. Denise O'Sullivan and maybe Katie McCabe, both players who I tried to sign when I was in the top league in Ireland, both rejected us. But these ladies, you look at the way they conduct themselves, their professionalism, they have the chance to be superstars in the game.
You say you're maybe Iceland might be calling you back. You kind of like scouting players in Ireland while you're over.
Always. Yeah. I'm very lucky to have a very good
reputation.
Oh, thank you very much. A very good relationship with the FAI, and also with people like Dave Bell and Niall O'Regan, of course, in coach education. And Niall was involved in Cork City's ladies, of course. He has a huge passion in the female game. So I'm getting a lot of emails and getting a lot of players, you know, sending stuff over to me via LinkedIn and Facebook and stuff like that. So I'm always in touch with the female game here. And as I said, I got Niamh over on goal for us, and she was terrific. So much so that she actually went the last two games. She was an emergency signing for the league above us to keep them in the league above, and did that job as well. So not only did she win the league, she kept a team in the upper division up as well, you know.
So you'd recommend Irish players, maybe, if they're thinking about it, that Iceland could be an option?
Well, the thing with Iceland is, as I said before, they've invested in their coaches, you know. So a lot of the coaches are full time. So what happens is, better coaches, you know, train better players. They make the players better, more quality and whatever. But so when they come over, the Irish players, you know, if they're training 2-3 times a week, it's not enough. I think Damien Duff proved that in Shamrock Rovers when he came into the 15s and the 16s back then. You can train 4 or 5 times a week. What else are you going to be doing? Sitting watching EastEnders?
Yeah.
So you might as well go out and train and keep healthy. Players, if they're not going to be training, if they're given a day off, you know this yourself, they're going to be in the gym. So why not be on the field? You know, so, and it's that little bit of professionalism. If you invest into your coaches, and if the coaches can maybe, you know, I was going to say get a salary, but if the coaches can see a benefit of training 4 and 5, 6 times a week, why not?
Certainly so. The Irish women's team facing Ukraine on Tuesday, and what they're hoping is going to be a record crowd for an Irish women's game in Tala. It's fantastic. The scene, again, I think it's a byproduct of the World Cup, that wave that women's football is riding.
It is, and from what I heard this morning, it sold out. It was at 8,000 seats in Tala, you know. But the product is better, you know. It's an athletic product now. You're looking at the women's game, and it's an attractive style of football. You're going to see good play. You know, one of the things I advocate an awful lot is just quite simply the controlling of a ball from the air. Now, 5, 6, 7 years ago, you had players kicking the ball with their toes and just turning up for the social aspect and having a few drinks on a Saturday and playing on a Sunday. Now, the women's game is a top product to watch. The professionalism, as you keep talking about, has gone through the roof. And also the standard of football has gone through the roof. So it's I think not only is it going to be a great event, I think it's going to be a bloody good game.
Fingers crossed for a result for the girls in green. Finally, John, you're on your pro licence at the moment. With Cork City manager Neil Fenn, among others. I mean, how's that been going?
It's one of the hardest, the most challenging things I've ever done, if I'm going to be totally honest with you. And it's more the off-field activities of management, you know, stuff like the mental health of players, working in the office, you know, presentations and stuff like that, which is something I really like doing. But when you're coaching day to day, you kind of neglect that side of the game. Speaking of Neil, he's a fantastic advocate of the presentation. I know, you know, he's a fantastic talker and he's doing great. But we have some fantastic people on the course as well, like Robbie Keane, Damien Duff, Keith Andrews, Andy Reid, a lot of League of Ireland lads like Stephen Rice and Ger O'Brien. So I can only... We went to Geneva, I think, last week. We did 4 days over there, and the FAI and the Irish coaches knocked it out of the park. We were the standout group. So much, and all I can say about that is the coach education standard here is through the roof, and I can't thank Niall O'Regan enough for it.
Yeah, because I've been seeing from clubs they've been putting in their own pathways for coaching and getting coaches their badges, and there's a lot of emphasis on that now, which maybe wasn't there in the past.
No, and it's more coach friendly as well. You know, the fact that it's developing you as a coach, developing you as a manager, and it's all then geared towards making the players better. It's all geared towards having a better product of our football and getting our players to, you know, realistically fulfil their potential, Rory. You know, there's an awful...
Yeah, it's great to talk to our old buddy there, John Andrews there. Sorry to cut that short, but we are out of time. Thanks very much indeed for tuning our way. Podcast online, charlieredextra.ie. Follow us at Big Red Bench. Good night, folks.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.